Thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon here on the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and whatever is happening wherever you are, the Lord can make it better. We're glad you've come by. We're believing that the Holy Spirit's going to touch Brother Freedom, and he has butterflies. When he has butterflies, that usually means God's going to do something wonderful. He never knows what's going to happen exactly, and we just have to trust the Lord. And that's the wonderful thing, because God has wonderful surprises. We hope you enjoy the surprise God has for you. You have a need in your life. Just trust him and look to him. God is so good. Father, we thank you for touching us all in this large congregation, internet congregation that meets through space and time by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for touching Brother Freedom in a wonderful way. And Lord, we thank you for touching all those precious people that you love so much, far and near, those of us in this room also. We just thank you, Lord, and we're going to have a good day because you're a wonderful God. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give this room and this house for your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd just like to say I welcome all of you out there in internet land this day, wherever you are, maybe different places in the world. We don't know where you are, but we welcome you and we thank you and we thank you for God putting you into our lives. We just pray that we'll can be able to touch you in a very special way. And if you have a problem this day, we pray for you. And if you have any needs, we pray for them also. And we pray, first of all, that you might grow spiritually deeper in the Lord. You might be blessed by God. We can all get deeper in the Lord. It's one of those ongoing way of God has for us to keep renewing our vows, renewing our mind, renewing our hearts toward him each day. We just want to say thank you. We appreciate every one of you. It does our hearts good when we hear from you and when we know that you're listening out there. And we want to thank you very much. And we pray this time will be very special to you. We pray that it'll happen, be holy time. Father God, we just pray for a mighty blessing upon this people. We pray that you'd bless this service this day. We pray that you'll conduct business from your throne room this day. We pray that you'll move mightily. We pray that your will be done. We pray that you'd move mightily in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, I know that I'm not worthy even to be here this day, but I know that you've called me for this, and I just pray that I'll do the best that I can do. And I pray, I look for your help, your strength, your guidance, and I pray for your anointing. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Blessed be the holy name. Amen. I really have got a sort of subject today that's sort of, I think if I could just give us a little bit of what it is, I don't really know how to explain it, basically. But it's our endeavor to see ourselves as we are. Basically, that's it. The Lord showed me this. I know in my own life, I know this is right. Sometimes we present ourselves better than we are. We have a tendency of saying, well, I'm okay, and I'm not, everything's okay, and no one needs to bother me because my mind's made up. But that's not always the best way that I believe that God has for us. So starting off today, I want to go to the book of Numbers. And Korah was a man that he and 250, it talks about them, men of renown, the most famous men. They were these 250. And they were very against Moses. And they even talk about that they're so holy. It's the word holy appears there. But Moses didn't flinch. He didn't lose his ground. He just said, okay, we'll take it to the Lord. As they come before the Lord, then Moses, he speaks out. He says, the ground's going to open up and swallow you men all up. You're not going to be here. And he goes on down, and that's what God does. But I was thinking about how those men must have felt, because it said they were renowned and very famous around Israel. So they was very thought of, and everybody was shocked. But what the problem was that they had come and accused a brother, and their accusations weren't true. And I would like to go also to Galatians 6th chapter, the first verse. It says, a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest also thou should fall. Now the next verse, bear ye one another's burden, fulfill the law of Christ. that's quite a message within itself. And when we get in trouble with the Lord, I really think one more seriously, because the Bible says if we cause a little one to stumble, it'd be better than a millstone be put upon her neck. So as God's elect people, this was the elect people. Korah was a priest, as I presume, and he had the censers, and all those 250 people were his helpers. And they were the one, the governing force of Israel. And so they had a lot of cloud. They had a lot of dignitary in that day. You know, they would be like, you know, a senator, representatives. They had real power. But they spoke against Moses. When you speak against God's elect, there's consequences. Before we go too much farther, I've been on church boards. I'm just saying it as it is. Church boards should be above reproach. And I know, but I stood by myself, a lot of cases when there was 13 men besides me, and they were all the other way. And you could just, I don't claim to be nothing super special. Their demonstrations validated what they were saying. They didn't care. This is their side, and they wouldn't even talk about what the other side, which I was on the other side. They wouldn't even talk about it. And we told them we need to pray about it. They said, we don't need to pray. Our minds were made up. And this is for a godly situation. It was about a pastor. They was going to run him out, and they did run him out. Or he let them run him out because he quit. But I'm just saying, these things should not be. The Apostle Paul said, these things should not come up even questionable. Moses shouldn't have those kind of accusations because they came up murmuring against Moses. They said, he's taken us out here and left us here and there and all this. That was part of the accusation. But the accusations weren't true. I feel the Spirit of God right now. The accusations were through the carnal mind. Anytime we operate in the carnal mind, we're enmity in God. We are a natural people. We come from natural means we're formed this way. But when you meet Jesus, there's a spiritual awakening should take place that we start growing into a spirit being. With God's help, it can be achieved. That's the way we start growing. And we see that this ground literally opened up. In Revelations, I'm building a platform here because I'm a little bit slow, but I believe it's going to be what God wants us to be. Because I feel the Spirit of God here very powerfully. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But this is what the part that really relates pretty much to what Korah. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, I increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Sometimes what we see, we're blinded. We don't see the true picture. We're only seeing what we want to see. The Bible says we look not for the things that are seen. Well, we look for the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It says, for this cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For the light affliction we have is only for a moment, working for us more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And then that scripture says, before we look for the things that are seen, we look for the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God went through this earth. That's why we need the Spirit of God as leadership. We, in our own carnal minds, we miss it. You know, it's like driving a car. If you miss too many times, you're going to get in a wreck. But spiritually, we're in a wreck most of the time. We've never even come through the first bend of the road. We're sidelined. We're sitting on the side of the ditch. We're there, and we say, well, no, I'm okay. But reality, you're not going any place. You're sidelined. And God's saying we must wake out of sleep because God's coming through the clouds of glory. And it's a wake-up call that needs to be received. Now, we might walk in His victory. We might walk in His promise. We might walk in His purpose. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. There's power. There's blessings. But many times on our accusations, if we don't really know through the Spirit, we're lost. And when we walk with the Lord, we have to grow in favorably toward the Lord. Our eyes are not open all at once. Our eyes, as we start growing in the Spirit, become wider, and they get more real to the spiritual things, and they lessen the things which are as found, the things that cause us to fail, the things that cause us to miss out on the things of God. And they cause us to not have that vision. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. Korah didn't have that vision, the same vision that Moses had, because Moses knew that God was taking them through to the promised land. God was going to minister his love to them, and God was going to keep them. And there's another scripture that even after it says after those 40 years, they didn't lack for shoes, clothing, or nothing. God made them, took care of them. He says he literally took care of them, even though they were rebellious, living in unbelief. They were living not what God wished for them, but God still, his eyes were upon them to the degree that he kept them. He supported them. He went before them, and he was with them through the times of struggles. He was with them. He was with them to help them. If we live in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. We need the Spirit of God to enable us that we might be enriched in this last hour. Because if thou sayest, I am rich, sayest, I am rich, and increasest with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and I don't read that, but that's really what we do. This is true. Thou sayest, I'm rich. But God says, no, miserable. You are these things. You're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it. It's pretty plain what he's talking about. I counsel thee to buy of me. God said, hey, kids, I wish to give you something that's beyond, it's supernatural what I give. Everything you got down here on the earth is carnal. It decays. It's for here for a day, and tomorrow it's gone. We're like the grass. We come forth for a time. Presently, that grass becomes dry, and if not careful, it burns up with fire or whatever. It loses its strength, vitality that once had. So as we start growing, we realize that our lives need a supernatural correction change basically all the time. We're like a person on a long travel. We got to find out our direction constantly. We got to find out where our navigation is. By the anointing of God is the only supernatural part that we can use. So he takes us in a body that's just, we're made of flesh. We can die within a few moments. Something happens to us. Maybe not faster and faster than that. But with this carnal body, God says, if you cast your cares upon me, I will make you as a living soul. And that soul within us, when we receive Jesus, it becomes alive in us. We were dead until we received that validation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Then we become a child that starts at that point to deeper and better things. For a reason that we come out from this world, that we might be separated and truly trust in the living God. God wants us to truly trust him. That's what the Israelites, God was saying, just trust me. Because it says over in Deuteronomy, but it said they couldn't literally trust God. They couldn't believe him. And we're here today as recipients of God's Spirit. We talk about the children of Israel. We many times say, I've been in the Sunday school classes. Everybody knew that that wouldn't happen to them. But you know, we never really know it until we come against the same problems. The scripture here is very short. It's in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter and the 47th verse.
because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things.
Over in the first chapter of Romans, it says God couldn't take them into the promised land. And it says in Romans, the first chapter, he turns us over, people in this category, he turns us over to have a wrong mind.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
This is serious because it's really, no, people don't like to even think about it. But that's why God is very concerned about our where we are. This might seem to be low-key so far, but God's here to enrich our lives, to help promote us the place that we're not struggling all the time. We find ourselves struggling through life. We find ourselves like I am as swimming. I'm not a good swimmer. When I swim, I struggle. But you take someone that's a good swimmer, they have no trouble. They float like just like a fish. Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, they become vain in their imaginations. You know, vain imagination just takes us from God. Our imaginations get in our minds so many times, and they rob us from the spiritual things. They come in and tell us that we're looking more of what we're seeing than what we should believe in. And what we see all the time is there's going to be a little contest goes on in our mind. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war off the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal. Mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm having trouble today with my words, but God has a real message here, and that's why I'm having trouble. It's because the need is very powerful. And I'm like in the Bible when Gideon, I've been robbed a lot of my power that I once had. So I have a little trouble, struggle with words, but I'm telling you, God's here in a very powerful way. When the anointing gets right, it'll be easy, but right now it's hard. But these words, nevertheless, are by God. God wants us to change us from glory to glory. And that transformation comes through just like I'm doing right now. It means standing in there and having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's relying totally on our Heavenly Father. It's relying totally on the things that God has ordained through the power of the Spirit. It's relying totally on the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when any time that we come against the Holy Ghost, we're crippling what we have with God. See, Israel come against Moses, but when we come against the Holy Ghost, we're coming against the same thing that they come against. And it's very wicked. It's very carnal. And God won't permit it. And God has been very long-suffering. But it's going to come very soon. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worships creatures more than they do the Creator? For this cause, God gave them unto vile affections. It goes, talks about that he lets them over to reprobate mind. He's not going to make the ground swallow up no more. He's going to turn them over to reprobate mind and do what they would, because if they didn't, their minds would probably snap. God's merciful even to people that come against him. He's been very merciful. He blinds their minds to such a degree that they can live out the remainder because they only got a little more, less time here, and God's merciful. That's why we're having trouble in our rest homes. And that's why Christians, God's not done with you when you're 80 years old. He's not done with you. And the churches that put them over to these places, they get in a place, God's going to have to judge it, but they lose their first love. It's not their fault. Because they still got to work there, and we never, today that we go into Jesus, we got to keep working. We got to struggle. Like God told me yesterday, I'll have to to physically work out today that I die, because I'm going to have to work out the same in the spiritual. They go together. Once you lose your body, the spirit part dies in this world, because it has to be engaged in God. When we get to heaven, it doesn't make any difference. But while we're here, we need to take good care of our bodies. We need to take good care of our mind. We need to take good care of what God gave us, because they are for our betterment. And they will keep us strong in the Lord. And they will come in combat against any darkness. When the enemy comes in like a flood, there will be a supernatural power within you that's so mighty, so glorious, that you're able to be more than conquerors through him which led us. He will promote you. He will direct you. He will instruct you in a mighty way that you'll be more than conquerors through him that's led us. God will put his blessing upon you. He will anoint you with his truth, and his truth shall set you free. And we are more than conquerors through him that's led us. Korah wasn't really more than conquerors, because Korah was out of sync with God. And once you get out of sync with God, you're just fooling yourself when you think you can come against God, because God moves not by might nor power, but by his spirit. So we have to come to worship God in the last hour in spirit and truth. That's why we need the Spirit of God to help us, to engage us in a very powerful way in this last hour, that we'll be more than conquerors through him which loves us. Because the enemy comes in like a flood, and he shall raise up a standard against him. But God, here, he will raise up the standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. God is our support. God is our helper. And he will defend us. He will use us in a mighty way. And we are reaching things this world that's so, if we go by the natural mind, that what we see, they're corrupt. And some of the things that God lets us do are, they don't even look good. But when the Spirit's there, it helps you know what the end results is. It helps you to know what God's got plans. See, the Korah couldn't see the end result. He seen Moses there with a problem. It was how it was hurting the feelings of people. Apparently they were coming against God. They weren't content. And that's one thing we have to learn, every one of us, the first part of our spiritual walk. We got to learn to be content in every state we're in. We have to trust God in everything that we do, everything that we say, that we start growing in him. We don't make it overnight. Rome wasn't built in one day. We take time to grow, us to grow spiritually. And God takes the whole lifetime. If we have a lifetime to do it, it takes the whole lifetime to stay in there. Every day you've got to seek God. Every day you've got to call upon him. Every day you've got to ask him forgiveness. Every day you fail God. You fail him, and when you don't want to, but you're there. God made it where you have to go to him daily, that you stay in correct obedience to God, that you're not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And that's what happens to us. I was thinking that today. I've been men that think more highly of themselves, and pretty soon they lose the vision. They lose the mark. They lose the Spirit of God. They're thinking it only through the natural way, and through that they're missing out on what God has it for. Without holiness, without love, love someone long as kind, love God is not itself, is not puffed up. There's a power through love. Love is a work field of God. God's people have to learn to work in love conditions. When it's hatred, it's not from God. When there's envy, it's not from God. Men have troubles with lust, but it's there. We have to admit it. Yeah, it's there. We're made that way. And I don't know about the women, but they may have troubles too. But those are things that we're more than conquerors, because God will help us in the situation. That's what he told me. I said, well, Lord, I'm too old for this. He said, no, you're gonna feel it now. Oh, I feel the glory of God. God's here to uplift us. God's here to encourage us. God's here to make his face to shine upon us. He's here to be gracious unto us. He's here to deliver us. He's here to go before us. He's here to be our mighty conqueror. He's here to help us, to excite us. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. There's no not one. God is greater than what we face. He's greater than the challenge that we meet day by day. We have to learn to do within ourselves is trust him in every situation, in every problem.
Make it with His help. He's here. We don't have to be very high in mind or all these things. We just trust Him through the Spirit. There's people that learn but never able to come into the knowledge of God. It's not by what you have but here to know. You're known. You're knowing. It's what you do in the Spirit. This knower someday is going to vanish. What you got in the Spirit is going to live on forever. Because you're going into a new lifestyle. We're living in like a caterpillar world now. Little crawly ones. Pretty soon we're going to be in a butterfly world. And that's what's coming up. We're going from a down and laying on the ground. You know, those things have to just be, people go off down the highways, they get run over them, all this stuff. They've got a terrible life. But one, they get beautiful. They fly. You go up over McLeod Summit about another month, well, about right now. Those butterflies are so beautiful. Those butterflies are soaring. Those butterflies are happy because they become a butterfly. They become what God wanted to be. And when we get to where God wants us to be, we become that place. You're not going to fret no longer. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down as the green grass, and shall wither as of the herb. But trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell. So shall thou dwell in the land of the Lord. Unite yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. God's here to rearrange our lives in a very powerful way. He's able to meet our needs. He's able to take care of us. His eye is over upon the righteous, and his ears open to their cries. If his eye is on the sparrow, so much he knows that he watches over us. He provides for us. He keeps us. God is so wonderful. My license came the other day. The Lord says, what? He says, your license came today in the mail. That's not nothing. Don't come in the mail. He just really, a lot of things he lets me know. But God is just with you. God will help you. It's not just a life of, it's a holy life, yes, because you live with God. But God is, He is in everything. What I'm saying, because you're godly, doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with God in a wonderful way. You say, well, it's too holy. No, well, I don't know how God does it. He comes down to our level. That's the only way I can describe it. He lets you know exactly. I was going to tip a cat over a couple years ago, and this man out of the former chain, and I thought the cat was going over, and the Spirit of God says, spoke to me so fast, says, straighten up, stop what you're doing, you're going to make it out all right. Because I thought it was over, and when I listened to the Lord, it would just come right out of it. I was going to be an accident, and there's a road that comes through that city that on the north side that's oncoming traffic, and they're supposed to stop. And it's raining really hard that morning. And I didn't see that. I thought that truck was going to stop, but that truck didn't stop. It came right up, and I was going to hit him right square, and I just knew it. I couldn't even. Spirit of God spoke to me faster than I could even. He said, turn. He just took, basically took over, and we missed that vehicle about inches. But I wouldn't have done it with him myself. And I remember in Texas one time, I loaded the cat up one morning. The Lord says, jump. I would have been dead there because that guy would have hit me right. He had no lights on, hit me. And when I jumped up, I went over the top of the hood of the car, and he dropped me off to the other side. He kept going. But I got up, and I was all right. And many times, God is on time, and He knows what He's doing. You know, we try to make God, He's just super spiritual. He don't know all this. He knows everything. He knows where the bolts are and the caps. He knows all that stuff. He knows how to fine-tune them. He knows everything. I can't explain to you when we start thinking God don't know. I mean, He can't know. I heard six of them one time says, well, He just don't do any of this other stuff. This is all our department. No, I'll guarantee you, He knows everything. Don't think you're that spiritual. God's better than, He knows everything about you. He calls the shots. And I don't know how He does it, but He can tell you to be here 6 hours later. He can tell you you're going to be at a certain place and you'll be there and certain engagements shall come to pass at that time. I don't know how it happened. But God knows all these things.
What I'm trying to say is that God is God. We try to make it that, well, it's your church building's on the public. Well, no, he's everywhere. He's in this building, and he's not made the church building, I guarantee you, because they've got him out of it. That's right. God's where he's welcome. When you welcome him in your heart, as long as you welcome him in your heart, he will stay there. Once you start playing hardball against him, and you start to have a little chip on your shoulders, you start, don't think you need him, God won't force himself upon you. He's very, very polite, very loving. And we need as seniors need to stay in church or stay someplace. They need to really work on their salvation to the day that they go into heaven or can't do it. God will help you. He will strengthen you. He may get like me, like now, don't speak too well, but God will help you. He will keep you. He will make his face to shine upon you. He will be gracious unto you, and he'll love you, and he'll move great and mighty things. You'll be a powerhouse with God. If God stays in there with your heart, you're more than conquerors what you face. Just because you're getting retirement age, there's no retirement. It's too much fun serving God. Why should ever the young people get all the just about the time that you get to where you should be, where you know God, that's when you can do some good. It took all your life to get where you should be, to where you learn how to pray. You learn how to lay hands on the sick. God give you these gifts. But it was coming through exercise through the lower parts, the lower levels. We go to school, colleges, and that for the life, that's what God's the same way. He don't send you out here as a unprepared. Paul spoke about novices. Don't not to be a novice. We need to be prepared in the Spirit of God. God is the one that educated me. And that's why I can say right now, this day, it's good and brown than what I started this morning. But God's here. Hey, I felt butterflies then, but I feel the glory of God. I feel his favor. I feel his loving kindness. I feel his tender mercy. I feel his saving grace. And you have a need out there. God is the answer. He will help you. And don't be like Korah. They'll come against the things of God unless you know what the Spirit of God tells you. And the Spirit of God lets you know something, stay with it. But if he doesn't, if you're just guessing, back off of it. Trust God, it's going to be okay. When I don't know something, I just trust God and I stay where I'm at. And having done all to stand, so I just stay there. And when God wants me to move, he'll come and let me know. And that's why we'll do the same with all of you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to knock Pastor Moses down and be bad to him like Korah was, because God's going to take care of Pastor Moses. He's going to take care of those kind of things. Moses was a great pastor. He was a great shepherd. He was a great leader. He was a great man of God. But even Moses had his faults. But God's real. He takes us with our faults to move mountains. You're going to see great things happen, all of you. You're going to see some great things. Hang in there. Brianne, you're going to hear it, see some great things. God's, we're just on the starting up point. And Daniel said something, oh, I feel the glory of God. Really, you can take this to the bank. He said there was going to be a lot of people knowing, a lot of education. Also, Daniel seen the conveyances, like people running to and fro, was going to be achieved. Right now, the way it is, we can go walk around the world in a day, so to speak. We're a different time change than when this book was written. That's why God showed me last night that we need prophecy. We need the Word of God. That's God's up-to-date keeping you. That's like giving these books that they get you. There's like you get commentaries and then they'll give these extras because they're updates. God's not what this here, it'll stand forever. But he also gives us wisdom in this last hour that's supernatural for that time. And God keeps these in order that he might give direction, favorability, that we might be available for the job that he has for us if we stand by his what he speaks. We need to take it to our heart that God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, that's we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Be ye strong, Lord, in the power of might. Put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you,
Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. That was a key verse. God would not let me stay it till then. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. God would not let me say that. But that is where it's at. If you abide in him, and his words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. So that kicks everything out the door that the Holy Spirit is nothing, because he does all these. He gives you the truth. He gives you the word verbally with you. He never leaves you. He's your comforter. He gives it all that you might be furnished perfectly in the last hour. We might put on that whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. That God's people would be strong in the Lord and the power of might. God's people would be glorying. They might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthening all might, according to his glorious power, and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance, here the inheritance of the saints of light, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God's here to bless you. God bless you all. I'm going to quit, but God loves you. It's different than what it started. I feel the glory of God. I feel the blessing. I didn't feel that when it started. God's great, and I don't want you out there to know that I don't walk in the Spirit all the time either. And I used to walk more than I do now, but God's showing me that the days are more darker than they've ever been. It's harder. We got to work out our salvation. We got to be more forceful in our being. We must purpose that I'm going to keep my life in order by God. We purpose it that it will take place. And we don't do it by might of our might happen. We do it by doing planning it. It's not by our might, because what might happen, it's going to happen. We have that belief that it's going to happen. We're going to live with the Lord in such a way that God's going to take care of us. His eye is on us, and he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. God bless you all. Pray that God will bless you out there in that land today. I pray that God will touch you in a mighty way. I pray that they'll get something out of this service. I pray that God will help you meet your needs. If you're sick, he will heal you. Whatever your need is, God will bless you. And we believe it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you.